Do Experience.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Naina Redo Experience. This is the first time I'm recording in a room that's air conditioned, and I tested it on Adobe Audition and it took out all the noise, so that's great. There is a bit of an echo though, which will need a bit of working on, but I'll do that. I am still recovering from the flu. No antibiotics, which is a win, yes! Lots of probiotics and lots of steaming and lots of liquids and hot tea and things like that. And I am recording in the bedroom today because the place where my desk is, where I work, it doesn't have an air conditioner and I don't really want to buy another one. We already have two. And this kind of works. When I'm not out for meetings, I made a little corner here on the bedside table and have a wooden board. And I've also ordered this adjustable table thing where you can stand and work. So I can sit and work also, but I can also stand and then I can adjust the height on that. So that is expected sometime this week, before the end of this week. So once that comes in, then I can record the podcast even when I'm standing. I could have done that even now, but I'm a little lazy. Okay, let's get down to it. The first thing I wanted to talk about in today's episode was this book that I am listening to. So, I listen to books on Audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E. And because I was, what was happening was that over the last 2-3 years, I realized I wasn't reading any books because there was no time, like just no time. And I was also driving everywhere, so it wasn't like I was in the back of a cab and I could read a book. And even if I was and I wanted to read, it would make me feel dizzy. So I just kind of stopped reading books, which sucks because I love reading. And of course, then the boy introduced me to Audible and I have not looked back since then. I listen to a lot of podcasts myself and I listen to a lot of books. So when this girl, this author said, well, obviously she's an author now, although she's not known as an author, she's known as a YouTuber. I'm talking about Lily Singh. Yeah, superwoman. She's a phenomenon. She released her book. It's called Bawse, B-A-W-S-E. And I've always been curious about her, especially when she went and met Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. I was like, oh my God, how cool is that? I really like The Rock, who doesn't? And after that, I kind of looked at her a little more seriously because honestly, before that, it was more, oh, she's a YouTuber, she's in the entertainment business. And that wasn't something that I do at all. So I honestly never really looked at what she was doing. And that's when I realized that she was huge. She is from Toronto and she is really cute. And from whatever the videos I've seen, she's extremely delightful and it's fun watching her videos. And she does these vlogs. I'm not sure if she does daily vlogs, but I really wanted to look at her. And so when she said that she's done the book, I was really curious and I wanted to check it out. But I ordered it on Audible, which is also great because she is narrating the book. So if you are a huge fan of hers or if you know about her and if you're curious, I highly recommend that you get the audiobook instead of the printed book or get both. I am planning to get the printed book also because I think there are parts there which I would like to highlight and then make notes and then do something with it. So I wanted to talk about this book. I highly recommend it. You should get it. But I think it might appeal a little more to the younger crowd. Maybe if you're in your even your late 20s, but earlier than that for sure. If I'm sure most of her fans are from that age group, they love her. So you love it, the way she talks, and of course, you know, she's fun. But I also think it might be a little more geared towards girls. Again, that's my stereotype. I might be wrong, but that's what I think. It's a great book, highly recommended. If you are on the internet and if you work solo and you've been trying to figure out how people do it, she has shared how she did it. There are lots of insights which she might not focus on specifically, but there are. She lets out a lot of how she got through the things that she did, her work ethic and things like that. So I think it's a great way to kind of understand where she came from. It is insightful, etc. So far, I think I've reached chapter 23. And I have 2 points of criticism for the book. Which is again for the book, it's not for her, because I don't know her, so I can't really criticize her. And again, I don't really do what she does, so it's not fair for me to criticize her, because I am not in the same boat, so we're not in the same arena. Although we kind of are, because we're both in the internet business, but while she's more video, I do more photography, etc. So one of the things I think, not at a specific point, but overall I felt that there's a lot of focus on efficiency and productivity and constantly work, and you have to, you know, do hard work, and I get that. I was probably there about 5 years ago, but I have lately come to a point where I'm like, it's this, I don't have to kill myself, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want dark circles under my eyes, and maybe I'm not as ambitious as Lily is, but I do think that this culture of relating your worth to your productivity is dangerous at some level. We are meant to, I think, we are also meant to enjoy what we do, stop and smell the roses. I'm sure she does that, but from the book, the sense I got was that, oh my God, she is always working. And I get it. I mean, when I am shooting and I get to do the things that I love to do, so it's very easy to work and work a lot. But it's also easy to lose track of yourself and your well-being. So I think if you are young and if you're just starting out and if you are listening to that book or reading that book, it should fire you up. It will fire you up. But I would suggest that you please also focus on your own self and well-being, etc. I'm sure Lily does that too, but I don't think she talks about it as much in the book. She does talk about it in one of the chapters. So that was my one main criticism. It's constantly like, go, 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 go. And it's like, oh my God, like, stop. But that's mainly just probably because it's her personality, which is great. It's fun to be around people who are like that. They fire you up. They light a fire under your ass. It's like, let's do this, you know. So I get that. That's cool. But there is a very sinister side to it also, where you can suddenly lose yourself over a period of time. You know, not suddenly. I mean, you realize over a period of time that you haven't had the time to stop. You haven't had the time to relax, and you can get burnt out. And she does talk about that as well. My second criticism, sorry, is very specific. There was this one chapter where she basically ends the chapter saying something on the lines of, so I'm not lucky, I worked really hard. And I thought that was wrong on so many levels, because I think there is a large amount of luck involved as well in your success, in anyone's success. It's not just hard work. You need to do smart work. You need to know how to play the game, which is what she says. And she met these two people who told her about, you know, how the game was to be played. And sure, it might not have been luck that she reached out to these people or they reached out to her and she got to meet them, etc. But we miss basic privileges. Like, you know, for example, she was born in Toronto, you know. The internet was in Toronto way before it was in India, for example. So she had a leg up there. She had an advantage there, and she saw that advantage and she used the opportunity. So it's not that I wasn't lucky, I worked hard. There is an element of luck also. That I don't think you can discount that. Even for someone like me, I think, you know, I'm from a Jat family, and traditionally Jats are supposed to be very conservative, and people get married really early and people have kids really early, and the girls are very controlled, and there's a lot of female fetuside that happens in Haryana, and there's a huge alcohol problem and things like that. My parents are also Jats, but for some reason they were not typical Jats. So I had the same pressures as most teenagers do, but I was never told that, oh, you need to get married and procreate. Or I was never not encouraged to draw on the walls. They practically raised me like I probably would have raised their son like that. I'm sure my dad would have been a lot more harder on the son, but I had those advantages. I mean, if I had to compare myself to someone in the village who's my age right now, I was lucky. I was lucky that my grandfather, for example, was in the Indian Army. And then he had the fortitude or the vision. Actually, he didn't want my father to join the Indian Army, but my father did anyways. He defied. So I'm glad, I'm lucky my father defied his father's directive and anyways went to the Indian Army. And my mom was educated. Her father was really hellbent on educating all his children, even though they lived in the village. And I was really lucky that they both kind of let me be. My dad was we got a computer and internet at our home, I think in 1997, which was still a lot earlier than a lot of peers at that time. That is luck. I had nothing to do with it. Like, there was no hard work involved on my part. And I'm sure Lily didn't mean it like that, but it just stuck with me and I can't get over it. So I just had to kind of talk about it. So it is a combination of luck and hard work. I mean, for example, you know, Fashion Week, the first time I went, I covered a lot of stuff for free just for in exchange of access, because I got backstage access. I was almost like a nobody and someone was nice to me and they gave me backstage access, and I photographed models and I, you know, the runway show, behind the scenes, backstage rehearsals, etc., etc. And then I started going every year, and one of the years I just happened to meet Wendell Rodericks, and Wendell told me about a couple of other designers, and I got work through Wendell, and I think that was just luck. I mean, sure, I'd put in some work and I was there before that, but it was just luck that I met him and that, you know, I got along with him. I think it's a combination of both. If I hadn't put in the hard work in the first year of Fashion Week, then maybe I would not have been invited again and I might not have met Wendell. At the same time, who knows, I might have just missed him by like 2 minutes. So I think in general, life is a set of dumb random chances. Some of us can spot those chances and see that it's an opportunity to connect it with something and do something about it. And some of us don't. So it's a combination of how you utilize it, what luck presents to you, and what advantages you already have. So those are the two criticisms from the book so far. I'm going to obviously finish the entire book and then I'm going to review it properly. Review in the sense, again, I'll let you know what I thought about the book. But already I highly recommend it. It's called Bawse, B-A-W-S-E. You can obviously get the audiobook on Audible. I think it's available internationally. Paperback, I'm not sure because I haven't ordered it yet. Part I wanted to talk about on this episode of the podcast was about sponsored versus not sponsored content, and I specifically mean content on a blog. I am not talking about content on social media. I've been asked a bunch of times how to balance it, for example, like how many sponsored stories to do, how many non-sponsored stories to do, is it possible to do only sponsored stories, and things like that. So first of all, I'll tell you about how I do it. I don't have a ratio. I have never thought about it strategically. Most of the content on my blog is not sponsored, which means that it is something that, you know, I have documented or I have photographed because I was doing it. So if I'm traveling, I will take photographs and I will blog. I blog daily. So I'll give you an example. For example, when I went to Arunachal Pradesh, it's a beautiful state, you have to go. And don't keep going to the Tawang side, go somewhere else, please. I had taken products from a handful of brands and they were paying me because I was going to this location and I would photograph, get myself photographed there wearing their garments and their accessories, etc. But apart from that, I was blogging every day. I was there for 15 days. And I blogged every day. So I was taking pictures with my phone and I was, you know, writing about what the day was like from start to finish. And at the end of the day, I would create this blog post. Now, Arunachal, for the most part, doesn't have any mobile internet. They have BSNL, which is also like really shitty. So I didn't actually post anything from there. But once I got back, I posted, you know, all the 15 days. And I also did blog stories that were related to what the brands, you know, the garments they'd given me, etc. So it's, I mean, I like blogging. I think I'll do it even if I'm not being paid to do it. And I think that is important. On the one hand, you could set up a publication, a blog, with a team, with content, etc., purely as a business. You don't enjoy it, but you think that this is a great way to make money, which it is not. And you decide to run it as a business. In that case, even then, I think you'll still have to do stories that are not sponsored, because it's still not something that, you know, brands are doing on a daily basis. It is not, I don't think it'll ever be something that brands will do on a daily basis. If a brand decides to blog on a daily basis, they'll do it on their own blog. You know what I mean? They're not going to work with an influencer or a blogger every day and pay them money and do this. It's not going to happen, because the brand's main focus is sales. They want to sell product. So they're going to try and sell product every day, regardless of how that happens. So I don't think it is a good strategy to look at doing 100% sponsored content. You will run out of content pretty quickly. I'll do a client gig, and then, you know, if I go and hang out with friends, suddenly I like their dog, I'll decide to take photographs. I take my camera with me everywhere these days, which is a new thing. I didn't do that earlier. I think I started doing it since I got the 85mm lens. And I like their dog, and suddenly I'll be like, oh, it's such a nice evening. I'm enjoying the company of these people, and I want to take some photographs. And I'll take photographs, and then I'll come back and I'll be like, oh, Christmas dinner with friends, and I'll do a blog post. If there are any brands in that blog post, some prominent ones, especially ones that I want to work with, I might tag them. If I have access to their PR, I know who their PR or their marketing heads are, I might email them saying, hey, you know, I did this and I really like your brand and maybe we should work together. But yeah, sponsored stuff is like rare. I mean, I do get sponsored work from brands, and I do get to do things that I love. But see, that's the thing. It's not about, acha paisa mil raha hai, toh will I do this? It's like, ooh, I really want to do this. Ab let's see, isme paisa kitna milta hai. It's kind of like that. And sometimes, you know, like I shop like any normal girl. I sometimes shop, and I have a fetish for stationery and, you know, soaps and cosmetics and stuff. And I'll talk about those, even though the brand hasn't paid me to do it. I don't think 100% sponsored content is a viable goal at all, unless you're a genius, in which case, thumbs up to you. I can't do it. Also, sponsored content, you know, you are going by a defined creative brief. And I'm not talking about a client telling you what to write. Don't do that. I'm talking about there is a clear directive, or there's a campaign, etc. You can't really do whatever the hell you want to do, right? But when it's a non-sponsored, you know, a blog post or a story that you want to do, you can do whatever you want. It's your blog. That sounds quite attractive to me sometimes. It needs to be a mix, in my opinion. If you do only sponsored content, you'll probably do one blog post in 15 days, 20 days maybe. So you should enjoy blogging. If you really like doing it, then you're going to find things to blog about that. Oh, I bought this new t-shirt today. Hey, photo. Fabric is good. Paint is good. Brand seems to be nice. So aesthetically, etc., etc. Blog post. 4 photos, 400 words sorted. And I do that quite a lot. I mean, I have photographed and blogged rotten fruits. I mean, I don't think there's any brand in India evolved enough to commission me to do a photo series of rotten fruits. I wish there was, but not yet. There will be at some point. So I've shot rotten oranges. Go to my blog and look for rotten fruit. None of that is sponsored. Even if it is sponsored, I clearly mentioned, it's written in the blog post that I was hired by this brand. So 99% of what you see in my blog is not sponsored. And that's how it is. I enjoy it. Like, I really enjoy it. 99% of the street style that I shoot, for example, is not sponsored. Why do I do it? I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I really like doing it. Maybe I like documenting the style of, or the lack of style of, people on the streets in India. Maybe I really enjoy that. Maybe I like going to my blog, going back archives a year ago and looking at what was I doing at the same time last year. I love doing that shit. So it's a lot of non-sponsored content, and that's what defines you and your blog's personality. That's what brands are like, oh, you know, so these are the kind of stories that this person does. That's where you have the leeway to work on stories that you want to showcase and say that, okay, this is what I want to do. So if there is a brand that you have not worked with earlier and you really want to work with them, and you are doing something related to that brand and that brand is included in what you're doing, you write to them and say that, hey, look, I did this and I'd love to work with you guys. So please mix it up, yeah. And don't feel shy ki are paisa nahi mil raha hai to ye nahi karna hai. But see, if you're really interested and really keen on it and you enjoy it, it's the same with me with photography. I mean, I take pictures of everything. The problem is that I have to sit and edit and it takes time, and then I have to think of a storyline on how do I showcase it on the blog. But I like doing it. I like putting out photos. I like that dopamine drip of people saying, oh, hey, nice photo, or hey, we love your stories. Thank you. Whoever says that, thank you so much. It keeps me going. On to the third part of the podcast. Someone asked me what I thought about this new category of influencers that's coming up really fast. They were mentioning people who are on Instagram but don't have a blog, or people who have really large followings on Instagram but very little traffic on blogs. My opinion, I'm jealous, because if you have 500,000 followers on Instagram, I'm like, what? How did that happen? And a lot of these people have like 2,000 updates on Instagram. I have like 12,000 updates on Instagram, and I have 38,000 followers. I'm not sure what that means, really. I don't know if there is anyone who knows what that means. I still recommend that you should have a blog for sure. You should definitely be on Instagram also if you're a blogger. It's a visual platform, and all the content that you're putting on the blog reaches a different kind of audience on Instagram. Same with Twitter. I know there are a lot of people who are like, what is this Twitter? I don't get it. Like, that's fine, but it is an important platform to be on. And kind of same with Facebook, although I'm not really happy with Facebook recently. So I think it's important to have an overall kind of strategy where you have a blog and then you put out your content on other platforms as well. See, you have to remember, all the other platforms are platforms. I've said this, I think, a lot of times. But your blog is your platform. No one can tell you, oh, you can't post this on the blog. No one can tell you, you can't write this on the blog. No one can come and tell you that you haven't tagged the branded content. Like, Facebook has this weird thing that if you are a verified page on Facebook, business page, and if you post some branded content and you tag the brand in the caption, but you don't put a branded tag with using the branded content tool, then they actually flag that content, which is really stupid, because 99% of the shit that I do is not branded, like, in the sense, no one's sponsoring it. It is branded, but they say sponsored brand content. It's not sponsored, so fuck off with your bullshit. But I can't control it. But on my blog, I can do whatever the fuck I want to do. I can post pictures of whatever I've shot. No one's gonna tell me, ye mat karo, wo mat karo. Similarly with Instagram, you can't post tits on Instagram. Like, what kind of bullshit is that? Like, our bodies are like the most natural thing ever. Twitter allows it. There's a lot of porn and naked pictures on Twitter, but it's not allowed on Instagram. Even though it's my account on Instagram, I have to follow their community guidelines. On my blog, no such thing. Again, long-term strategy. If you're only thinking of doing this for the next 5 years before you get married, get old, have children, and you want to just do this short notice, short term, make money when the sun shines kind of thing, then okay, maybe just Instagram is fine. But what are you going to do tomorrow if Instagram shuts down? I've lost count the number of people I've told that, theek hai, you have Instagram, but all this content you're making, all these amazing photographs you have, tomorrow if Instagram shuts down, you have nothing to show. It's like a portfolio. Where are you putting up your portfolio? So your blog is your portfolio. And it is important to invest in that. But I don't want to discount the importance of platforms like Instagram or Twitter or even Facebook. They do bring traffic to my blog. They every platform has a different audience. Like my audience, I think on Twitter, all the people that I interact with, or the people who follow me, etc. There are a lot of people who work in marketing, who head businesses, CEOs, etc. For example, but the people who follow me on Instagram are quite different, and not necessarily the same people who are following me on Twitter are following me on Instagram. And it's the same with Facebook. I mean, I have 4,500 friends on Facebook. And my Facebook page, I think, is around 17,000 likes or fans or whatever. But I don't really have a lot of... I mean, I don't engage with a lot of people on Facebook because I don't consider it as an important platform anymore for some reason. I might be wrong. I could very possibly be wrong. I know a lot of you will disagree with me, which is fine. That's just my opinion. And but you have to put up a blog. Yeah, I think that is really important. So when I look at someone who has 500,000 followers on Instagram and their blog gets like 1,000 page views a month, I'm always like, what? 500,000? Like 1% bhi loge to kitna traffic aana chahiye tumhare blog pe? Like 1%. And 1,000 page views? Like that's probably like 50 people visiting your blog in a month. This, in my opinion, there's something going on there. I have 38,000 followers on Instagram and my blog gets about, 35 to 45,000 page views a month. And I think it's, I mean, obviously it's not directly related ki itne followers Instagram mein to itne page views honge, but come on, yeah. Kuch to correlation hona chahiye. So yeah, I think it's important to see these things. It's important to question these things. And you know, it's not, I mean, I don't do ads anywhere, and I can tell you that growth of followers is really slow. But maybe there are people who are actually not doing ads and still getting a lot of followers on a daily basis. Maybe there are people who have not bought likes and they're still getting a lot of followers and likes on a daily basis. I don't know. All I can tell you is about me. And I have no ads anywhere right now. And the follower numbers, if I travel, like when I went to Rajasthan recently, there is definitely an uptick in the number of followers that I get. But it's really gone down in the last like 6 months, I think. So it's hard, yeah, getting followers these days, getting the attention of people who could be your prospective audience. It's hard. And I think what a blog does is that you have this portfolio to show. So someone who's like, oh, maybe let me see what does this person do. If they have a link to go to, it's like building a profile. So before we befriend somebody in real life, we like talking to them. We like meeting them. We stalk them on Facebook. So it's kind of similar online. So people want to know, acha blog hai, what does she write about? What are the things that she photographs? What is the kind of stuff that I can see on a blog? It helps someone build a profile and then they decide whether they like you or not and whether they want to follow your work or not. I think a blog is important, but then again, that's just me. You ask me what I think about it, that's what I think about it. And thank you for listening, and hopefully next time I will stand and do it and get a prettier background, because this is like brown. And I will stop sniffling next time. Another week's time, I should stop sniffling. And I'm recording it just the night before. And I'm involved in this. It's not a Twitter fight, but it's one of those, oh, mom, someone's wrong on the internet, I have to correct them. So I'm engaged in a bit of conversation. I think I'm done for the day. I've had one beer. And I think I am done for the day. So again, thank you for listening. Good night. Bye-bye. It's Wednesday morning. So good morning and have a nice day. Yay! Bye.